And welcome to another edition of Money Matters. My name, your host, Mark Cuniberti. Thanks for joining me today. This is show 303, entitled Debates and Viruses. One of the two, maybe they're intermixed. Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I am an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Indices I may mention are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Investing involves risk. Depending on the types of investments, there may be varying degrees of risk. Investors should be prepared to bear loss, including total loss of principal. And don't forget, the views expressed are my opinions only. They do not necessarily reflect those of Cambridge, this station, its staff, management, or underwriters. Money Matters is about money. Money does matter, and the matters of money affect us all in some way or another. Whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it, it controls our economy, our country, our planet in some way or another. It controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money or lack of it or abundance of it. It's about our lives and livelihood. In short, it's about you. Okay. So, hi. Yeah. Here we are again. 2 weeks back where I was, and today... we always start out the show by talking about these really large numbers on the Dow. Now, there are other markets that are looked at, the NASDAQ and the S&P and or the Russell, but the Dow is the one that everybody looks at. And Dow's at sitting at 29,187 as we speak. That means the large number below us, the 29,000 even, right? 29,000 is below 29,187. For those thinking there is advanced math, okay, 29,000 below us, 187 points below us is a support level and a resistance level, probably a big one above us is 30,000. Now remember these 10,000 increments are big deals to the technocrats. There's only been two that we've surpassed, right? 10,000 and 20,000, and now we're approaching 30,000. So it's going to be working on getting through 30,000, if history is any example. And 29,000 could be a support level. Now, those are according to the technocrats. Remember, it is not possible to forecast market direction at any time. But there's those who believe. I had an investor once shake wooden cubes on whether she believed we should buy a security or not. Some might think about the moon, and there are other theories, the Santa Claus rally and the January effect, sell in May and go away. There's all sorts of different theories. But the technocrats, those are the guys that look at charts. They look at, like, what is the price done on a chart? That's what they look at. So the general consensus, and I think the, you know, a more common belief on Wall Street is, would be that 30,000 will be a big deal, okay? It's a big number, right? First time it got there. So it should provide some resistance to get through it, right? Get through 30,000. Whether the big number below us, 29,000, will supply any support or not, I don't know. High was 29,000 something. I don't know. I could take a look at the high for you. So I guess the question would be, you know, first of all, do you care? This is a investing show. But, you know, we do so much more here besides investing. We talk about nonprofits, and we talk about businesses and sometimes politicians we have in here, and just really interesting things for people that don't have stocks. Because a long time ago, a gentleman called in and he said, you know, not everybody owns stocks. So we've covered a lot. You know, a portion of this show is called Investing in Community, which we talk about the community and we talk about businesses and how maybe a guy started a business a couple of months ago. We had AJ Avery from AJ's Montana Banana Beef Jerky on. And we've had a host of nonprofits, a couple of political candidates. That's more tricky. Program directors, you get a little squirrely about that. But they allow us to have those on there as long as we offer equal time. But we have to submit that way ahead in advance. Of course, you don't want to get that program director mad at you. Okay. So, not a political show, but did you watch the debate last night, Democratic debate? I'm not going to lean one way or the other, but I will tell you that it was an interesting moment. You know, they're all talking at once, right? They're all talking. You know, they're all squashing each other. And I was looking at it going, oh, this is just, why can't we just talk about the issues? And maybe they did, you know. But anyway, I watched the whole thing. But it was interesting. Michael Bloomberg said, he turns to, he's on the far right, I think, if I remember right. And he turns to everyone and he goes, you know, I'm the only one that started a business. And he looks left. He goes, am I right? Can I comfortably say that? And they all just kind of looked to me. I looked really quick to the to his left. They all looked rather sheepish. So I kind of laughed. I said, he's got you there. No doubt about it. The only businessman in there was Michael Bloomberg. So not saying that that's good or bad. I think I ran that on social media today and somebody said, well, we don't want the country run like a business. Well, you know, I personally, my opinion, I might disagree with that. It's the largest business on the planet. You better have somebody in there that wants to run it like a business. You don't want to run it like a kindergarten school. So I thought that was an interesting moment. Who won? You know, doesn't matter to me. I'm reading the news media, but again, this is an economic show, so I'm not going to touch on that. But what's going on in the markets? I mean, this is, you know, I'd said a month ago, with the permission of regulators, and they've okayed it, and so I'll say it again. You know, about three and a half weeks ago, when this virus thing started to pop up, we went market neutral in the portfolios because I said that I do not think that the market was fully pricing in this effect of this virus. Okay. Now, I'm not talking about how many people it will kill. I mean, that's terribly unfortunate. And we have some statistics on the virility of this thing and the you know, the mortality of this thing. It's the fear. Okay. Now, generally, growth is what drives markets. Markets have to continue to grow. Okay. Expand. Numbers have to be positive, in my opinion, for the stock markets to follow. And if we see, you know, business growth in a private company and they show growth, even if it's below expected growth, the stock could get hammered. Could. Okay. So they like to see growth. How much did you grow? When markets stagnate or when a company's earnings stagnates, it could cause a fall. Now, we did a couple articles on this. China, I've seen photographs there, and I can comfortably say that the photographs that I have seen, whether they reflect reality or not, I don't know. I could be seeing a small sample. But the photographs I have seen is seeing not much movement in big cities or some of the big cities that are affected. Wuhan, especially. And we know that a variety of corporations have closed their shops. Their Starbucks have closed some, and McDonald's has closed some. There's a lot of different American companies that have closed these shops. Okay, and China is a big market. Okay, so the Dow really, really still, in my opinion, has not priced this in. Sure, we were down a couple hundred points a couple days ago. We're down 184 now, but we're still close to an all-time high. 29,000 and change is an all-time high. We're but barely off 300-400 points from that. So I don't think it's priced this in because when the SARS virus hit, the SARS virus in 2003, okay, it infected, I think, 20,000, somewhere near. Killed 10%, 9.5%. Its mortality rate is 9.5. It was deadly. 1 out of 10, you know. Went 4 feet up. Now, the coronavirus, okay, has got a 2% kill rate. 2% kill rate, okay? But it's infected a lot more people, 75,000. And again, we're going to get into statistics. Now, when the SARS virus hit, it knocked down Chinese GDP, gross domestic product, which is all the money collected in every sale and service in the country. It knocked down Chinese GDP by 1%. 1%. Now, China was not the second largest economy in the world at that time. It was dinky. So the overall emerging market index actually rose 21% in that year. Okay? So it was rose 21%. China is now the second largest economy in the world. And even when China, who's got a tremendous growth track record, when their growth slows, the markets can get hammered over there. So with everything coming to a standstill, from what I am seeing, I would imagine that a 1% GDP in China is a slam dunk, if not more, in my opinion. Okay? And we're not seeing that in the Dow. The Dow's still only down 300-400 points from the high. Okay? But I believe what I believe, and I went market neutral in portfolios, and, you know, I've only seen a 200-300 point drop since I've done that. Now, what we have seen, the Dow really is made up of what they call there's an acronym that I saw that was kind of interesting. It might get a few of you mad, but I've got to type it up because I got to make sure that I get the words right. Okay, I got to make sure. Okay, the majority of the Dow. Okay, the majority of the Dow. Majority of the Dow is being moved by four stocks. They call them the MAGA stocks. Now, obviously, that is a play on the Make America Great Again. But the MAGA stocks, I think they just coined that because it's a word. But the MAGA stocks are Microsoft, Amazon, Alphabet, and Apple. Now, why they have an M and an A-G-A in there when you've got Microsoft, Amazon, the G stands for Alphabet because it's Google is its parent, and Apple, okay? They make a combined market value of nearly $4 trillion. Just those four stocks. That exceeds the combined value of half of the S&P 500 companies. So when those stocks move, and they have, they affect the Dow. So it's interesting, according to CNBC, if you take those four stocks out of the Dow, okay, you see a flat Dow for the last 6 months somewhere in there. So when we see the Dow running, the majority of what the CNBC is trying to indicate is that it's because of the MAGA stocks, which is Microsoft, Amazon, Google parent, Alphabet, and Apple. Okay, so since I went market neutral in the portfolios, this Dow has still not really been hammered. Okay, but we have seen a shift in what kind of people are buying. We're seeing what we call a flight to safety, reallocation in some points. You know, we're seeing investment grade bonds, we're seeing some mortgage backed securities, utilities. What we call fixed income, generally moving opposite of a stock market, fixed income. So we're seeing a flight to safety in some of those securities. So it's interesting. And again, it's not as many people as will get sick or will pass away, which is terribly unfortunate. But it's the fear that will stop people moving. Now, China just happened to come upon a slowing economy when this thing hit, and they had the Lunar New Year holiday for China, and that came like 2 weeks ago, and that was a non-event. So we're having things that normally would juice the economy over in China that were a non-event because of the travel thing. So let's take a look. I wrote a couple of articles and did a couple of films on the coronavirus, and let's just take a look, okay? Now, I don't want to be fear-mongering. I did two films on the coronavirus already and updating, and it's not fear-mongering, okay? But you have to realize is that when a small country like India or Japan, or not a small country, but in a country like Japan or a big bellwether like Apple makes the news and rocks their market, you know, that's bad. That's bad, and it could drag down other markets. But you got to realize a virus is worldwide. That's a global thing, okay? And not only it's a global thing because we have companies that sell over there, but it's a global thing because it could come over here, okay? So this is a global thing. And, you know, I've seen when, you know, Greece sold off and the market got hammered. Or Apple came out, you know, the December 2018 started the fall on October 1st. It was a real bad market fall, and it started to correct. It finally started to find its own feet like 3 weeks into October. And one stock, Apple, reported not so good of an inning earnings. NVIDIA, that's right. NVIDIA quoted some earnings that were not so good, and NVIDIA has Apple as a customer. And the market turned and fell again to November all the way to December 24th. So that was one company. So here we've got something that it could affect global markets, and we have hardly seen any blip at all. So I'm not saying fear-mongering, but you've got something that could knock down China GDP, could possibly, not guaranteed, a percent or so, which would affect companies over here. And Apple did come out and say 3 days ago that it's not going to meet sales forecasts because of the coronavirus, because it's knocking down sales over there. And it also has supply problems because it gets a lot of stuff from China. And it has customers over there. So Apple said, you know, we might get hurt. Now, where other companies are coming out and saying that we might get hurt. So, and here we still have the Dow very close to an all-time high. So I'm not quite getting that. You know, I still think that it hasn't priced it in. Today's market from Yahoo says markets drop based on continuing fears about the coronavirus. But in my opinion, if the markets were to truly reflect the possibility of damage to the economies, we would see a much greater number in the fall of the Dow and other markets than we are seeing. How much? You know, I could give you an opinion, but I would say at least 2,000-4,000 points on the Dow. Again, I will preface this to be legal, that no one can forecast market direction at any time. Not I, not no one, okay? It's only my opinion. It doesn't reflect the opinion of anybody else, and it is not a solicitation or a recommendation for you to do anything, okay? It's just my opinion, okay? So on the coronavirus, you know, there is good news, okay? There's only 75,800 cases, which is kind of flatlined. I think yesterday was 73,000. So we haven't seen the spike of increasing cases, so it's slowed down a little bit, okay? There are 20,000 cases or so that are closed, okay? So you got 2,130 people have died out of 75,000, okay? 2%, okay? Hope I did that math right. There have been 16,970 people, 89% have recovered. So of the 19,000 cases that are closed, 89% have recovered and 11% of the 19,000 have died. Active cases, well, there are no deaths in the active cases because when you die, it closes the case, right? So no deaths in the active case, okay? Active cases, there are 56,734 as of a few hours ago. This was at 17:55 Greenwich Mean Time today, 2/20/2020. 44,000 cases are in mild condition, 80% mild, 21% serious or critical. So one of the things people say fear-mongering, you know, that I'm not doing that because there are more people killed in a standard flu season. About 60,000 worldwide are killed in a flu season than killed here. Okay, so why this big thing? More people are killed by the flu than killed by this thing. Well, because it's a specific virus and it spreads rather, you know, successfully, I guess is why they look at this. So the good news is that the total number of cases are kind of flatlined. The not so good news is deaths are still rising at the same rate. So if deaths are rising at the same rate and new cases are flatlining, the actual it's becoming more deadly, okay? Here's some of the things that's going on, okay? Most of the cases have been in China, hence the damage to the Chinese market. Most of the cases have been in China. 74,000 plain change have been in China. There's 400 new cases in the last 24 hours. There's 2,100 deaths in China, give or take, 115 new deaths in the last 24 hours. The interesting thing, there's these two cruise ships, the Western Dam, the Westerdam and the Diamond Princess. Okay. Now, the highest concentration of the coronavirus is on the cruise ships. Okay, they have the highest. Okay, they got 634 new cases coming from the Diamond Princess. Okay, 634 cases total, 13 new, two people had died. Both those were very elderly. Total recovered 17, 27 in critical. So obviously, if you're stuck on a cruise ship, which these people were because they put them on a cruise ship and let them come ashore, you're going to get a petri dish, okay? I myself, in my opinion, I am not a cruiser. I just look at that and say, there is no way that I'm going on a cruise ship. Because, I mean, talk about tight pack, you know, 5,000 people on a boat? No. My wife and I went on a Carnival cruise when we were 28. And small ship, old ship, cheap cruise. And I don't know, it was okay. I read a book and I played video games. We were 20, and I don't know what, I was 35, she was whatever she was. And we come off, we said, that's pretty cool, a small ship. Then I went on two more. My dad took me on one, the bigger ones, not the monstrosities that you see nowadays. I mean, God, these things are like, oh. But just look at a picture of the Diamond Princess of the Westerdam. It's like, what? Yeah, they show a nice pool and a water slide, but you got 7,000 people using it, you know. I had a friend of mine, another advisor down at my firm in Auburn, went on one of these big guys, and he said he's not going again. He said, because, you know, by the 8 o'clock in the morning, all the deck chairs were gone, you know. So there'd be no way. And when I took a cruise to the Caribbean, I took a cruise. My dad took me. I was on the first day. I thought I was going to have to get off. I was panicking. One, the internet was terrible. I couldn't get through, and I was out of touch, and I was getting claustrophobic. I'm not claustrophobic, and I said, I got to get off this ship. I just can't be here. So I settled for the second cruise. First cruise was to Alaska, so I couldn't get outside much because it was cold. Second was the Caribbean. It was okay, but no. The cruises are not for me, man. I'd rather go out to a nice Mutu and sit on a white sand beach and fish with a fly rod and just catch weird fish. So Diamond Princess is 634 cases in the Diamond Princess, 13 new cases, two deaths. So that's a lot. That's a lot. 29 countries, I think 30 countries are now affected. And most of the deaths, good news is, most of the deaths have been in China. Good news being not the deaths, but the fact that they're not occurring many other places. Two on the cruise ship, one in South Korea, one in Japan, two in Hong Kong, one in Taiwan, one in France, two in Iran. They got three new cases. That's new. Two in Iran and one in the Philippines. Okay, the cases in the United States. Now, we just took some passengers off a cruise ship, and they're in quarantine at a military base. We don't know what the effect is going to that be. And one passenger, they let off a bunch of people on a cruise ship in Tokyo. I think it was Tokyo, Cambodia, somewhere. And they all dispersed. And turns out one of those people was infected. So all these people that dispersed were possibly exposed, and now they're all over the planet. So we don't know what's going on there. So there have been no deaths in the United States. Maybe attributed to the fact that our medical system is great. Not for those paying, but overall the way we treat medicine. If you listen to last night's debate, you know. But the way we treat medicine, we're very advanced, obviously. We have very strong drugs and things of that sort. So some of the newer things that's transposed, the transmission rate is still two to three newly infected people from one new case. So if the number of new cases is dropping, we would imagine that the transmission rate would drop, right? Fatality rate, 2%. 30 countries now instead of 29. Incubation, 2 to 14 days, which means you could be symptomatic up to 2 weeks before you get it. One new case in Singapore, three more were discharged in Singapore, 13 new cases on the Diamond Princess cruise ship anchored in Japan, 10 new cases in Japan, and most of these people that I'm seeing are elderly, A man in his 80s got infected. Another man in his 80s got infected. A woman in her 60s. Well, I'm elderly then. Holy macro. Two new cases in Iran, two in Guam, and one in Iraq. All three patients are Iranian nationals. One death in South Korea. That's new. And, here the mayor of Daegu, South Korea, Kwon Won-jin, urged 2.5 million residents to refrain from going outside and to wear masks. So, here you go. It's not so much the mortality of this virus, but you got country after country saying, stay in. And people are not going to shop when that happens. So, I think, even if this virus went away tomorrow, the damage, in my opinion, to the balance sheets of a lot of companies has been done and will show up. Now, the tariffs were going to do a lot of damage to the balance sheets, and the stock market just about blew through that, no problem. So keep in mind, you don't know. But I can say that the balance sheets of companies are going to be hurt. Some companies, they've already said it, so I can safely say that. Two deaths among the passengers of the Diamond Princess cruise ship in Japan, a man and a woman in their 80s, both with underlying illnesses, which means they might have had other illnesses there. One new case in Taiwan, bringing the total there to 24. And the source of the infection for that new case in Taiwan has not been traced. Okay. Patient is a 60-year-old woman with no travel history abroad in the last 2 years. 60 new cases and 6 new deaths occurred in outside of Hubei province in China, February 19th. So that's where it started, we think. And 24 new cases in South Korea. So that's interesting. So there you go. Again, it's not so much the virus. And when compared to the standard flu season, you'd say, why the big deal? Well, the standard flu season doesn't kill 2%. That's a lot. And of course, the SARS virus was super serious. I guess the fear of a virus, we've all seen these movies, right? Contagion and, the other movies through our history of Hollywood movies about contagions. And few things reach to the very core of our concept of human frailty and really gets down to the core of our fears and a feeling of complete powerlessness, like something like a disease outbreak, right? It's a tiny little thing. You ever seen the movie, what's that movie? Invasion from Mars. It was an Orson Welles movie. I forgot the title of it. What was that called? Somebody will sure call in and tell me what the title was. But it was about this little tiny bug killed them invading Martians. They got the flu. We have all seen at least one contagion movie, and I don't know about you, but the very concept gives me the creeps. You get sick and you die. You always stay indoors and you wear your mask and you die. An enemy smaller than the eye can see, it is mobile, stealthy, and indiscriminate. It can spread like wildfire unless you're a hermit a million miles from any humanity. You have the chance of hitting the contagion lottery and not in a good way. In other words, you could run out to the forest where there's no humans and hide out there, in a bad contagion. You'd probably do that. Take your backpack and just leave. So you're not around any human viruses. Unlike regional economic ills, and I mentioned this before earlier in the show, unlike regional economic ills or specific company ills or political shenanigans in one country or another, a serious viral outbreak can likewise not only do damage to company earnings nationwide in the country where the virus is, but it can affect it globally, like we are seeing, because a virus can be global, especially in today, where we see very fast air travel, very advanced travel, people are moving all over the globe real fast. And thereby, the stock markets that these companies and countries may comprise, right? I have received at least a few calls from concerned clients regarding the coronavirus event. One client moved some funds and said, I don't want to be in the stock market. I don't want to be in the stock market. Okay, I understand that. Whereas the long historic rally that we've seen since Trump was elected, it went from 17,000 and change to where it is now, 29,000 and change. The long historic rally we have seen and the political circus that we have seen around Washington has not prompted a market fall. The market doesn't care about Washington, apparently. Doesn't care about the impeachment. Doesn't care about how long this rally's been going. Case in point, it's almost near a new high. However, the corona outbreak has, at least in a minimal way, made the news. It's like, uh-oh. Regardless of whether the outbreak could wreak serious havoc on the human race in general, how many people could it really kill, the fear it could instill on customers has the making of an excuse to crack the historic run in the stock market. In other words, it was my opinion, and I wrote about it, that the market is looking, or was looking, for a reason to correct. Okay? It may have found it in the coronavirus, although right now, at 29,168 on the Dow, you wouldn't know it. Some analysts, besides me, have considered the market was looking for an excuse to correct. By the numbers, the Dow is still flirting with all-time highs, as I said, and although its seemingly relentless upward march in recent months have stalled, it has stalled, right? The Dow is continuing march, and now it is kind of stalling, we think. A serious correction, at least at the time of this show, has still not occurred. The market's refusal to buckle in the face of this worldwide event may be a testament to the conviction by many investors that this rally has longer to go. This rally may be for real, and it would take more than just a hint of a long rally, or the hint of an impeachment, or the hint of the shenanigans in Washington, and indeed, the hint of a global catastrophe possibility that the virus threatens us with. It's going to take more than that for investors to hit the sell button en masse in this market. There is no disputing economic statistics are far from anemic. Many economic statistics are at decade lows, the bad ones. And many economic statistics, the good ones, are at decade highs. Bureau of Labor Statistics there. So economic statistics don't lie. Now, there will be people that say, well, not everybody's participating. That's true. And there are statistics that reflect that. But you got a complaint? Go to the Bureau of Labor Statistics to put these things out. Even with the warning from Apple that Corona will dent sales forecasts, so far, the exuberance for stocks exhibited by investors is outweighing the fear that this coronavirus is causing. Exuberance, investors wanting to be in the stock market, is outweighing the fear that Corona is causing, or the market would be lower. And I don't see that, in my opinion. That said, the Corona event is far from over. The good news, looks like cases are flatlining, which means the spread will flatline. However, Corona's persistence, at least in the news, is concerning to this analyst. Should the virus continue its spread and affect more countries and the people that inhabit them, eventually the markets will likely take a more serious tone to the ramifications of the consumer fear Corona is causing. So it's possible that this market will finally wake up and say, you know what? This thing's really going to damage some balance sheets. We better start selling. Consumer fear about a virus means less mobility, and it means person-to-person interaction will be minimized. In other words, we're going to see ghost cities and ghost malls, and even some airlines have canceled travel to certain countries. Eventually, if enough damage is done by the fear of this virus, even if the virus dissipates, the damage it will have done to balance sheets from two corporations will likely translate into a falling market. My opinion there again. Falling balance sheet, positive statistics when balance sheets fall from public companies, generally, but not always, the market may fall in response to bad balance sheets and bad quarterly earnings. With the coronavirus making the mainstream news, investors may be asking how much influence could the markets exhibit as the situation unfolds? Well, that remains to be seen. It really does. If we look at the Dow, you know, I think that this is a more serious event than what we saw in the fall of 2018, which is pretty brutal. Pretty brutal. The fall of 2018 was the worst fall since 08. Okay, that's the worst fall since 08. And it was a wide-based sell-off. So that was a bad fall, and really was nothing much that brought that on, in my opinion, except maybe the market was exhausted, and there was a lot of news about the tariffs. So the Dow high apparently looks like 29,551. Today it's sitting 29,204. So it's basically 346 points below its all-time high. Percentage-wise, a blip, not even a blip, okay? So if I look in a long-term chart of the Dow, I'm looking at a Dow for 6 months, and it basically looks up. And I'm looking at it for a year, and I do see a blip in January of 2020. We had a blip there. We had a 1,000-point blip. So January 17th, 2020, the Dow was sitting at 29,369. So January 17th, 2020, 29,369. The Dow, 14 days later on January 31st, was 28,229. So it dropped, what, 1,100 points in, what, week and a half. And then it's been up to the races. So now we're going to see what's going to happen. I mean, it's very, very interesting what is going to happen here. So if we look at some of the headlines today, okay, some of the headlines. There are some headlines about the virus, but not really a lot. Not really a lot. Other things in the headlines today, of course, was the debate last night. A couple of companies posted good earnings. Some posted not so good earnings. You could find that at yahoofinance.com. And I'd mentioned that the flight to safety has been on the rise. So there are people that are concerned. What I find is kind of interesting is that there's, even though the new cases of corona are kind of flatlining, I mean, you know, yesterday's figure was like 73,000, only 2,000 new cases in a day. And prior to before, you know, right around February 9th, 10th, okay, between February 11th and the 12th, they had an increase of 14,000 cases. That was a lot. And between the 12th and the 15th, no, the 12th, let's see, 12th and the 14th, they had 14,000 cases. And then after that, it grew by about 4,000 cases a day. And 17th was only 73,000 cases. And today, which is 3 days later, is only 75,000 cases. So it's slowing. Now, if this really slows down, then the question would be, okay, do you buy the market based on the fact that the virus is slowing, okay? Or do you brace yourself for the bad earnings that are coming next quarter because of the virus? See, that's the key. If they cured it tomorrow, in my opinion, you're still going to see, you know, the next quarter is going to be not so good because of the virus effect that it has had. You know, the chart for the virus goes back to January 22nd, where there were 580 cases that were reported. 580 cases. So we are January 22nd, 580 cases, and we are not even 4 weeks later, and we're at 75,000 cases. So in a month, you know, you've got 75,000 new cases because it only had 520 that was reported because they probably weren't looking for it back then. So that'd be the question. If the virus does slow, and it looks like at least right now it's slowing, we're going to see what happens. Do you buy the market? Will the rally continue? You know, we're only in February. I'm not quite sure that the Democratic primary will affect the markets. Not quite sure. The general consensus, at least from a lot of the Wall Street advisors that make the news, that if, you know, there have been some people saying that if someone strong from the left that leans more into a socialistic leanings, or let's, you know, more socialistic leaning, that the market will sell off. I'm not so sure about that. I don't know. I mean, obviously, one of these guys or one of these guys or women are going to be elected into the Democratic primary and be the candidate. And all of them are talking things that Wall Street don't like, you know. So we'll see what happens. I would imagine that if, in my opinion, if Bloomberg or Biden get in there, the Wall Street won't react as violently than if a Warren or a Sanders got in there. That's my opinion again, because I've read a lot of opinions, mostly CEOs and vice CEOs of companies that are saying what they think will happen, depending on who gets in there. So we'll see. Anyway, so we have the virus to contend with now. What do we contend with when the primaries come around? I don't know. I mean, we'll have to just look at that. I can't say with all these uncertainties, okay? You know, in my opinion, we've got a market that is just running. Okay. The positives for this market is a lot of economic stats are better than they have been in decades. Out from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the BLS, a lot of them. And Wall Street is taking notice. Wall Street is saying, wow, you know, unemployment is way, way down. And disposable income, not great, but on the increase. And companies are having shortages in workers. You know, can't find qualified workers. And just been a lot of good economic stats that are out there. So that's the positive. That's why this market's running. And the you know, the reports from companies are substantiating that. Well, what's the bad news? Well, the bad news is we got an election coming, right? We have a majority of the population that is still struggling, right? That's not good. And we have the coronavirus coming here. And we've had a very long run. So in my opinion, the environment for buying stocks 3, 4, 5 months ago was better than it is now, in my opinion. Okay? So I am erring on the cost, on the side of more neutrality in portfolios because of my opinion on what's going on. I think it's getting a little bit more dicey here. So, and once again, to satisfy the regulators, it's only my opinion. That's it. Doesn't reflect the opinion. It may not reflect the opinion of anybody else or any other firm. And no one can forecast market direction at any time. And this is not a solicitation or recommendation for you. It's just what I think. And so we'll see what's happening. There's a lot of news about the debates coming out. So we'll see if that affects the market. The market right now, if we take a look at this, kind of give you a closing run. Market is down 164.29, 183. High is 29.551, if I remember my figures correctly. And we'll see where it's going from there. We might as well cover for the precious metals today because we haven't done that in a while. GLD, which is the SPDR gold shares, is at 152.49. And if we look at historical data for that, it's a representative of the price of gold. It looks like it is at an all-time high, except for, I believe it was, yeah, except for this particular index was at 171 back in September 2012 and 177 August 1st, 2011. So it has been higher. If you look at a graph of this, you see an upward graph all the way up until about 2011-12. Then you see not such a bad fall, just a modest correction and kind of flatlined for a while. Now it seems to be on the uprise again. But again, these things can turn on a dime, so don't put any weight on any of that. Okay. So we'll be right back to close up the show. And you're listening to Money Matters Show number 303. My name's Mark Gunaberti. Just hang on to your seats, okay? I've been listening to your economic forum entitled Money Matters. Thanks for listening today. So the Dow's 29,208, down 130. So we'll see what takes place. And remember, discussions in this show should not be construed as individual investment advice. Always consult with a professional investment professional before making important investment decisions. I myself am an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Indices I may have mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Investing involves risk. Depending on the types of investments, there may be varying degrees of risk. Investors should be prepared to bear loss, including total loss of principal, and no one, no how, anytime can forecast market direction. The views expressed are my opinions only. They do not necessarily reflect those of Cambridge's station, staff members, or underwriters. I hold California Insurance License OL34249. The website is moneymanagementradio.com, where everything is free. Our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. God bless. Have a great day. And it's going to be fun to watch the election, ain't it? You betcha.